Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 4th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in some of the cast and director from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's Toasted. Looking forward to hanging out with them right now. Looking forward to a good conversation, as always, with our friend, Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug. Good morning, Scott, or good afternoon.
I almost said it, too. I'm glad you said good morning. Good afternoon.
Yeah. I get it out of the way so our guests don't have to make the mistake. That's How have you been? How have you been, Scott?
I'm good, really good, actually. It's been a pretty active summer, you know, just getting out and about and staying connected with folks back home instead of having to be to Madison constantly. So that's always a nice thing.
We know that you oftentimes have to call us on the road and bopping around town, bopping around the state. Where are you at today?
So we are down in Delwood at our campsite. We've been basically down here since school got out. So we've just let the cats have our house for the summer and just come on down here. So
Right on. Scott, I wanted to start off with the Operation We Love Our Troops. Saw a little bit about this before. Can you tell the audience what that is?
Yeah, so we try to partner with different organizations around the state, you know, because we've got such a big caucus. We try to figure out a good cause. And Wisconsin Women for the Troops approached us about doing some care packages for individuals who are serving, you know, either domestically or abroad or out on a carrier or wherever it may be, so we could get care packages put together and sent out to our troops who are doing so much to protect our freedom. So the caucus came together in the last few weeks here, worked with our local schools over the last few months to have kids handwrite some letters and thank yous and thinking of you type of things. So we took all of those care package items we bought, all the letters from the kids, all the coordination, put it all together and had a big event package. I think it was a few hundred of these boxes out to individuals from our districts who each of us did two or three each and sent them out just to show them that we're thinking about them.
Where did this idea come from?
So usually, you know, in the past we've done this before for care packages for different events, and this one actually came to us from this group, Wisconsin Women for the Troops. So they're a local organization in Southeast Wisconsin that approached us saying, hey, I remember you guys did something like this a few years back. Would you be interested in again? We'd help get all the names and addresses and all the things for all the people that you would like to help find. So they did a great job pulling it all together and bringing it to us for conclusion.
A big thank you to them for that, too. Appreciate those kind of efforts that we can make any opportunities to show our soldiers that we're thinking of them. Always good to be able to take that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always a good event. And, you know, when you see those names that you, you know, try to pull together from locals, and sometimes you get surprised knowing who's where sometimes. And it was interesting to see. I had one of my troops that I did a box for was out in the USS Ronald Reagan, and you know, right now my son's out on the USS Roosevelt, so it kind of helps remind us all how close to home these things hit. So
yeah. Scott, you and I have been doing this for a while, and we've covered a lot of different topics, and I think on air, off air, you and I have mentioned, boy, these are weird times, or oh, we are in unprecedented times. But we haven't had something like this. America is facing the prospect of an ex-president repeatedly going on trial in an election year where he is the Republican frontrunner. I don't think that if I was a Hollywood scriptwriter, for one, I wouldn't be working right now. But I would, if I pitched this as a story to any movie studio, I don't believe it would get made. I think they would laugh you out of the studio. That's how unrealistic I think this is, that the times that we're in with this.
Yeah, you think somebody like West Wing or House of Cards or somebody would have covered something as crazy.
Yeah. Even they didn't come up with this stuff. Even Hollywood writers did not come up with an idea like this.
Even Frank Underwood was never in this position. So.
Part of the reason I'm bringing this up, certainly you are a part of the Republican Party, but more so to me, just you and I, and especially when you and I get a chance to talk off air and everything, I appreciate your political mind. I appreciate you going to school in this and the way that you have a kind of, I think you're one of the few people I know that can run for a party, run for an office, while also having the perspective of looking at this from like a third perspective. As you're seeing this, I'm not asking you, the Republican, the member of the GOP, or asking you as a citizen. Where do you even feel about something like this? What are your first instincts on this?
You know, and I think where I am, I usually try to, you know, think I'm in the 80% of people in my realm, right? I don't try to get to the extremes. And I think one of the things that I take away from this is that I'm aware of what's going on. But I think most people right now, especially in the midst of summer, you know, are kind of in that same boat where they're aware but really don't know what it all is or what it's all about. So I think I'm almost in that camp too, where I've always tried to keep my head down, focus on the things I need to get done, take care of my family, doing my job, doing all that stuff. And I usually, you know, I keep aware of things, and a little bit less in the summer, but I know that things are happening. I know things are crazy. I'm kind of just sitting this out and letting it play out, because I think most folks are like that too. They're just going to wait and see what's happening with it. It's the absolute craziest thing I've ever seen. You know, some people will say it's a political witch hunt to discredit a front runner. Some will say, hey, the guy's goose is cooked. I am firmly in the camp that the American justice system is the best in the world. It is going to figure it out without my help or my input into it, because it is beyond my pay grade on how to interpret all the things that folks want to relitigate over and over again. So we will see how it plays out. And it's going to be even crazier campaign in 2024, because it's not only presidency that's up for re-election, it is literally everything. You know, every 12 years in Wisconsin, we have one of those everything elections. Last was 2012, this is 2024. We've got the presidency, the U.S. Senate, the entirety of the Congress, the entirety of the state assembly, you know, half of the state Senate. It's going to be a crazy 24 without all of this stuff. So you throw this into the mix, and it's just going to make those primaries even more important for people to look at those candidates and make sure they're vetting them and knowing who they're voting for and why.
Have to ask the simple question to follow up. If it was a Democrat in this position, do you think you'd feel the same way?
Yeah, I do. I mean, that's who I am. I don't play that game. You know, mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, mm-hmm. I am a member of the GOP. I don't play politics. I do policy. Mm-hmm. So I don't care either way. I mean, I see a lot of people on social media on the left, you know, some of my progressive friends who always want to try to discredit guys like RFK Jr., for example, right? And I think, you know, some of those characters on the far left and the far right are going to look for any example they can to discredit somebody on the other side, even if they have some ideas that resonate with them. So it's Wisconsin politics and national politics has gotten way too tribal. And I think there needs to be some of us who can just be outside of it and just analyze situations for what they are when they come up.
Well, when it comes, and well said, I think, sir. When it comes to RFK Jr., the anti-Semitism kind of pushed me away. But I think a lot of Wisconsinites might have been pushed away when Aaron Rodgers backed him. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe. That might have. You might have been a fan of his, and then you found out Aaron Rodgers was backing him. Like, well, wait a minute. I don't know about that. In all seriousness, you mentioned something that I think that others can relate to, and that I think a lot of people are in the position of right now. The idea that this is happening, and they're aware of it out of the corner of their eye, but they're not ingesting and taking in every bit of new information. Do you think there is a danger in that? Take a second to put away feelings and political parties and all of that. We have a situation where a person is being put on trial for attacking our democracy. That right there, you would think, would be the biggest headline in people's brains. That there shouldn't be much more bigger things on the table than attack on our democracy. There seems to be a danger in that, looking out of the corner of your eye and not giving this its full attention.
You know, and I think the way that politics works in general, I think when you deal with things like this in the summertime, and we talk about it all the time, even in our caucus, saying, okay, what are we, you know, are people paying attention? Are people, you know, alert to it, awake to it? I think this is the time where people get a chance to regroup, you know, to take their eyes off of politics for a little bit, to recharge their batteries. Wait until kids get back into school, when they're back to the average routine, then they start consuming more news and digesting the things when they're a little bit more ripe. You know, this is pretty new yet, so as it ripens over the fall, people are going to be a lot more aware of it. I don't think there's a problem with people checking out a little bit in the summertime and just recharging their batteries, because this thing's going to be around for a long time to come.
speaking with Representative Scott Krug. And Scott, I was going over some notes about different things that you and I have discussed over the years. And one of the things that we just haven't had the time to really get into in a while is water policies and water control, water issues, groundwater mm-hmm. issues specifically in the state. I know that is one of the reasons that you ran and one of your bigger causes, one of the things that you care quite deeply about. How is that going here in Wisconsin from, maybe 4 or 5 years ago when we first started talking to now?
Yeah, I mean, even, I can go back to the beginning. 10 years ago, this was a conversation nobody wanted to have. It was all finger-pointing, all blame game. They did this. We can't fix that without them. And I think, over the course of butting heads for 10 years here, I think everybody's finally on the same page that we're on the right direction and things have changed significantly in the last 5 to 7 years, with all the little things that, we didn't get national or state headlines on that have played out, the site-specific rules for Lake Peatonwell to reduce the blue-green algae, which is nowhere near as big of a problem as it had been in the past. Even this week, I sit on the Tri-Lakes board here down in Rome, and we just approved a new technology to help clean up the Lake Arrowhead Marina area that's all full of green muck right now. There's nanotechnology, and there's so many other things that weren't around 10 years ago that people couldn't even think would be useful in these things that are cost effective now. Finally, they're getting implemented and used everywhere. I think we're sitting in a really good spot now. And I had preached it back then too. And I don't like using the "I told you so" type of stuff, but there would be, I knew at the time that there would be a time where technology would become affordable enough that we could get to the point where we can almost snap some fingers and make some water quality issues better. So we're getting close to that. And it's unfortunate we have to wait for technology sometimes, but there's only so much money in the world, and trying to fix massive problems, you got to have the private sector working with the government on the funding side of it to make sure technologies are free and available to take care of some of these things. So I think we're on the fast track to massive improvements. We don't hear about it a whole lot anymore. We've moved on to a lot of different things already. So it's great to have played a role in a lot of these things, and I still will because I'm on my county board, I'm on my lakes board. It's still an issue in the legislature and keeping our fingers on top of it, but it has calmed down significantly in the last 5 years.
What are, to you, what are some of the biggest reasons for that change in perspective, the way that we're approaching it, or even being more open-minded to the idea?
I think the Speaker's Task Force on Water Quality that we did 3-4 years ago now that carried through into finally getting 13 bipartisan bills signed into law by both Governor Walker and Governor Evers over the last few sessions, that's kind of led to a lot of this putting away the blame game and just saying, okay, even the growers and producers in my area now say, hey, I get it. That's going to help me stay sustainable and profitable for the next 50 years if I make some changes. And for the conservationists in my district, they understand that farmers can't do everything that the conservationist wants right away, but they need help from the government. So we've created grant programs and the producer-led watershed programs and all of these other things that bridge those gaps that have all had bipartisan support and signed into law by both governors we've had the last few cycles. So that task force really helped when we were able to travel the state, talk about so many different issues that everybody in different areas could understand we were all in the same boat, that politically constituents wanted something done. And, that's always the biggest driver is when constituents are saying, hey, we need you guys to get some stuff done. That's when we get stuff done quickest. So
in between the last time we talked and now, we've had the U.S. Open, the senior U.S. Open in Stevens Point. We have the NFL draft coming up in Green Bay in next year. There are some big things sports-wise that have been happening in this state. Economic impact that makes, I think I'm pretty sure that the audience understands out there that that's a huge impact, these things. Do you think that Wisconsin is primed to host more of these kind of events and do more of these kind of things going forward, as they have shown that not only do they have the space and the ability to do this, but the weather to do it as well?
That's a great segue, because my E update covered that this week, actually. It's going to come out probably today or tomorrow, but we're talking about the impact of tourism in Adams County and the state of Wisconsin, right? I mean, we understand, especially here in Adams County, that that's where our bread is buttered, is tourism. It's taken over manufacturing. It's taken over agriculture. So then you start understanding where, how important that industry is to your area, and you start playing to your strengths. So what do I have in Adams County? You know, I've got the northern edge of the Dells. I got the northern part of my district covers Sand Valley, Lake, you know, Syracuse, ATV Park, you know, Lake Arrowhead, the Tri Lakes. So we try to capitalize on all those things you possibly can. And other people in the state do that with their areas as well. So I'm fully anticipating that as Sand Valley gets fully functional and all the courses built by the time 2025, 26 rolls around, that we're going to see them probably get a hotel put into that area. We're going to find ways to find bigger events to come to the Rome area to boost tourism even more in our counties. And I think the biggest driver of all these events growing and happening more often is that when we just changed our shared revenue program here in the state, we tied it to the growth of the sales tax. So I think everybody understands now that the more we can draw people into Wisconsin from not only Illinois, like we do in Adams County, but from the rest of the country, that helps those individuals come here, pay the sales tax, that's going to help fund all of our priorities here. So I think you're going to see an explosion of things like this into the next 5 years.
Do you think that there's been a shift in the kind of mindset for the Wisconsinite when it comes to that? Because I would say when my family and families like mine were first coming here 20 years ago, wasn't always the case. It's there seems to be an approach of, it's not just, oh, you're coming here to take in these events, that's great. If you want to come and move here, our arms are open. That didn't always seem to be the case. Do you think that that has shifted as well? Not just people coming here to visit, but people coming moving here.
Yeah, you know, I mean, on the real estate side, I mean, the reason that we picked to, you know, put our second place down here in Delwood is just the massive growth between Arkdale and Rome that I am working constantly between Northern Bay, all the way up to the Tri Lakes and Peatonwell and Castle Rock, and this entire area is going under a massive, you know, net immigration of people coming from all over the country that are visiting for an event and then ending up staying here. And it's amazing to see the growth in town of Quincy, town of Strong's Prairie, town of Rome when it comes to our equalized values, and just the amount that people are pumping into the third poorest economy, you know, on the countywide scale here in Adams County, to make us one of the more property rich, more diverse economies that you can see in the state of Wisconsin. We've gone from one of the third poorest counties to the third highest growth county in the state because of all the things that are going on tourism related and drawing people here to come live more than just come and play.
See, now you're giving me a segue, because I wanted to bring up Adams County, and this happened last month, but we, again, didn't have a chance to really touch on this, about their garbage pickup and recycling pickup being taken. Oh, and that situation, yeah. Can we touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, we should. I mean, that was one of the most contentious things I've been a part of as a county board member, was this decision that was made by, you know, the county leadership and the admin and finance committee that didn't come to the entire county board to make a decision on, to remove everybody's countywide garbage pickup who were utilizing it. It was just some massive overreach by the administration here in the county to take away that option without giving people as much input as they wanted on the issue. So, you know, we're starting to see other private companies stepping in and coming to the area and starting to cover some of those pickup areas that people had depended on very rurally here in Adams, but it is still a mess. And the reasons that we were given by the county manager, I just don't think hold a lot of water, saying that, well, we're trying to get this off the levy, trying to save a little money. You know, I get it. I'm a conservative, like we've talked about before, but there are things that people pay taxes for in our county, in our state, in our nation that are, you know, that are important services. So, you know, when we talk about taxation and the reasons for them, sanitary and public health and safety stuff like garbage pickup are pretty darn important. So I'm hopeful at some point we can get the County Solid Waste Committee and the Administrative and Finance Committee back together to the table to figure out what options exist for our next county budget to get this back on the table, because it was a bad decision that was implemented in an even worse way.
Being honest, and I'm not saying anything that you or anybody out there listening in Wisconsin doesn't know, Adams hasn't had an influx of people moving there, but that is something that we could use in the Adams County. but something like this does not necessarily encourage people to want to move there. So I, the understanding of the board, the big thing that I kept hearing was money, that the issue of money. I don't understand how as adults they didn't come to the perspective of, well, we're going to be losing even more money doing this by having people moving away or not wanting to move to this area, because who wants to move to an area where you don't have garbage and recycling pickup?
Yeah, you know, and like I mentioned, I mean, we are in the top 25% of net migration. So, I mean, we are getting more people coming to Adams. It will slow it down. It will change people's minds, I think. But, you know, in the end, just the way the decision was made, whether the decision was a good one or not, doesn't even matter, because the way it was done was the bigger problem, where it was just done on a committee level, where it was fast-tracked by administration. I don't like those kinds of things when they happen in Madison. I sure the heck don't like them when they happen in Friendship. This is the reason we have county board meetings, when people can attend, is to let them come attend and speak their mind. And when we snap decisions and do these things behind closed doors because there's employee contracts involved with it, that doesn't give people the ability to say what they need to say about it. So that's what the next county budget is going to be about, is making sure that, you know, the money side of it is taken care of. And with the changes we made to shared revenue, where I was able to get a 2,000% increase for the county in shared revenue, money isn't the issue. So I don't know where they would keep coming up with why we need this off the levy, because shared revenue change that we made allowed the county to keep a heck of a lot more of its own money instead of sending it to the state of Wisconsin. So the money is going to be there. I think it was $350,000 more per year in shared revenue. So we can definitely afford garbage pickup in Adams County.
And you said you think that this is something that, that in future board meetings, this will get worked out?
It has to. I mean, there's too many people that are forced to scramble to figure it out. And when you start thinking of some of the more rural areas of Adams County, I don't see a lot of providers wanting to step up and go all the way out to White Creek or all the way out to Grand Marsh or Easton or some of those way out areas that are, you know, more based in Wisconsin Rapids or based over in Fond du Lac that some of these providers are. So there's going to be a gap in services, and people are going to have to, you know, make some of their own choices. And you're going to start seeing some of these things pile up in some places probably.
Scott, you know how this works. We did our homework. Now we get to have a little more fun. We usually go right to Brewer news or baseball talk, but I got to tell you some breaking news. 39-year-old Mercedes Lewis just signed with the Chicago Bears on a one-year contract. So now we've got both the tight ends last year of Green Bay. Now we got Robert Tonyan and Mercedes Lewis there in Chicago.
And I'm more looking forward to watching the New York Packers play this year than
Yeah, that's going to be a little more interesting. Boy, that... Even regardless of what happens on the field, if you told me I couldn't watch any NFL games of the Jets, I still want to see the press conferences. I want to see how he deals with the New York media. I cannot wait to see how that plays out.
Didn't give me any weapons in Green Bay, but I'm bringing all the stuff you gave me in Green Bay to New York, and we're going to make it work somehow. And I hear even Devontae Adams wants to come over now. I'm like, all right, well, I might as well just get a New York Packers jersey created here.
Right.
I'm excited about Jordan Love. I mean, I can't wait. You know, I mean, it's going to be exciting to watch whether they win or lose. It doesn't matter to me, because there's some excitement and some cohesion and some – everybody's kind of on the same board, like, okay, we're moving on. Let's do something new. So
it's funny. The biggest – I remember when Favre left and the uncertainty and some concern there. With this one, it's all been – it's just relief. Every Packer fan I know and everyone that I run into, and one of my better friends is one, of course, the relief on their face. When I ask them what their hopes are for the season, it's just like, you know, I just want to have some fun, man. I don't want the drama. They're so happy to be away from the drama. I did want to ask you.
When Favre left and went to New York, I was a Jets fan for a year. I'm not going to be a Jets fan this year because Rodgers left. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the Brewers' moves?
You know, it might be a little too late, but I mean, they're hanging tight, and thank God they've got a weak division that they're still right in the wild card and playoff chase. I mean, they'll get there, but they're not going to go anywhere no matter what they did. So,
I like the Santana move, if anything, for his locker room presence. That's good too. And I'll say this too: there weren't any big bats available. I'd rather see my team doing something like that than nothing. You know, you think of what Yankee fans are going through, or trust me, as what us White Sox fans are going through. It's a lot better perspective of that than some of these other scenarios.
Yeah, it is. It's just tough watching them score 3 runs a game when their starting pitcher strikes out 13 guys and loses, you know.
Well, maybe like, maybe the biggest move you got Woodruff coming back, so.
Yeah, that'll help. Finally get the rotation settled in, and Yelich is still raking, and you got Frelick and Terang that are playing nice, and they'll be competitive.
Yeah.
So it's better than watching them lose all the time. So
yeah. Scott, we always appreciate the time. If people want to follow up on some things that we've talked about today, how can they reach you?
Yeah, 2 ways. I'm going to give you 2 this time. Phone number, obviously, 715-323-3293. And then what we've been asking people to do a lot lately, especially with this solar stuff in Rome that we'll talk about some other time, you can get on our e-update too. So just send us an email at rep.krug, K-R-U-G, at legis.wisconsin.gov. And you can get a weekly update of everything that's going on in our office.
Appreciate the time, Scott. Safe travels out there. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Take care.
Well, and more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here on WFHR.